This is the sixth day of our seminar on the footsteps of Paul. We'll spend the entire day in Ephesus. In its day, this ancient city housed 250,000 people, the fourth largest in the Roman Empire. There was Rome, Alexandria, Antioch, and then Ephesus. Ephesus was a port city, making it the center for land and sea routes. Unfortunately, silt deposits from the river progressively moved the port seaward until the harbor ended up being 6 miles from the ancient city. Trade ships started preferring Smyrna. So too did the Ephesians, who moved out, and eventually the magnificent city was fully abandoned. The old city was still useful, but only to provide beautiful building materials for those who were building elsewhere. History forgot Ephesus until the 1860s. Archaeologists from Britain, Germany, and Austria began working the site. Although only 20% of the site has been unearthed, it is still the largest excavated area in the world. The ancient city had 14 temples to pagan gods, but the temple to Artemis was the largest. In fact, it was one of the 7 wonders of the ancient world. It was 1.5 football fields long and 1 football field wide. It was surrounded by 120 massive pillars. Artemis was depicted as a young, beautiful woman hunter. Most statues of her has her wearing a short knee-high tunic, holding a bow, and carrying a quiver of arrows. She is often accompanied by some animal, like a stag, a doe, or hunting dogs. As the moon goddess, she was sometimes represented wearing long robes with a crescent moon crown. According to legend, she was the daughter of Zeus and his lover Leto. Her father's infidelity angered his wife, so she hunted Leto over the whole world. Finally, she banned her from giving birth anywhere on solid ground. So she gave birth to Artemis, the first of twins, while balancing herself on an olive branch. When the wife heard this, she told the goddess of childbirth that she couldn't help Leto anymore. This postponed the birth of Apollo, the second twin, for 9 days. It would have been longer, but the baby Artemis miraculously learned the art of midwifery and helped her mother deliver the brother. As an adult, Artemis became the goddess of the hunt, the wilderness, wild animals, nature, vegetation, childbirth, care of children, and chastity. Her temple in Ephesus was also the banking headquarters for the city, to safeguard people's money and give out loans, with the temple keeping the interest. Temple prostitutes numbered into the hundreds, both male and female. The temple had the right of asylum. Once a person committed a crime, he was safe if he could reach the precinct of the temple before being arrested. This immunity extended to an area of 1 bow shot, or 200 yards, around the temple. We will visit this site, but all that's left is a single column. It stands 46 feet high over a swamp, with a stork nest on the top. The Ephesian church was started by Aquila and his wife Priscilla and Apollos. When Paul arrived, he stayed 2.5 years, about 53 to 56 A.D. He spent the first 6 months teaching at the synagogue. After that, he taught every day in the lecture hall in an open market where scholars and philosophers would go and teach and discuss their beliefs. You'll find this in Acts 19:8 through 10. Years later, the Apostle John became the pastor of the church. According to tradition, he brought Mary, the mother of Jesus, to Ephesus. Because there was no safe place for her to stay, he put her in a cave that had been used by Paul. Later, suitable housing was found for Mary. Today, the cave is called the Cave of St. Paul, but is not open to the public. Ephesus was chosen to be the center for the worship of Emperor Domitian. He will be our Caesar of the day, even though this is out of order. He is actually the last of the New Testament Caesars, but it is important to deal with him in Ephesus. His temple was on the highest hill so all could see it. It was the first thing people saw when they came into the harbor from the sea. The pillars for his temple were made of images of all the other gods. They were holding him up as supreme. His statue was 50 feet tall with his arm raised in power. Domitian insisted everyone in Ephesus proclaim him as their lord. He came to Ephesus at least once a year. As he marched through the city, everyone had to lay face down as an act of saying he was lord. Since all trade was taken to the agora, the marketplace, incense burners were placed at each entrance. To enter, people had to burn a small amount of incense to Caesar, proclaiming he was lord. To be denied entrance into the agora was to shut out trade, social interaction, and possibly family. This started a massive persecution of Christians. A letter from Jesus mentions the Nicolaitans. It was thought these were followers of Nicholas, who was one of the seven deacons in Acts chapter 6. Later, he became a heretical teacher because he promoted Christian compromise. He said there was nothing wrong with sensible conformity to pagan practices, such as immorality and eating things sacrificed to idols. The Nicolaitans in Ephesus believed it was okay to obey the emperor outwardly as long as a person believed the right things inwardly. They believed only the soul mattered. What was done with the outward body wasn't important. We find the same doctrine in the letter to Pergamum, which refers to it as the teachings of Balaam, and the letter to Thyatira, which refers to it as the teaching of Jezebel. This doctrine perverted the teachings of Paul that Christians were free from the law. Christians kept disobeying Domitian by not proclaiming him Lord and God. He finally met with their pastor, John, in order to enlist his help. When John refused, the emperor had him boiled in oil. But John didn't die, so he was exiled to the island of Patmos. Domitian used the seven stars as symbols used to show the godlike power he held over the world. Jesus held these seven stars in his right hand. Sometime this week, read the letter of Jesus to Ephesus in Revelation 2, 1 through 7. If you want to go deeper, use btstories.com to watch story number 244, entitled Riot at Ephesus. Also watch the insights. Our cultural insight will deal with the Apostle John and the Domitian persecution. You may want to look up Domitian on YouTube. Here is your tip for the week. Avoid sitting in a position where the bottom of your shoe is facing another person. But if you forget, and it happens, don't worry. People there understand that you're just a dumb American, and you don't know better. After our day at Ephesus, we will finish the circle and go back to Izmir. Well, that's all we have for today. I'll be talking to you next week.